Chapter 20 is where we'll start from tonight. Boy, what a beautiful day it was. Man. Not much more of that for you guys up here, though. I know that's mean. I'm going to Alabama after this meeting, so. Numbers chapter 20. Now, tonight's message, a little bit different. Bear with me. There's going to be a long runway before this one takes off. So I've got to lay a pretty long foundation, kind of needful for where I'm headed. So bear with me. There'll be some applications, and we'll go with it. Numbers chapter 20, and let's start in verse 7. Now, the context here, Moses, of course, children of Israel out in the wilderness, and Miriam's just died. That's Moses' sister. And they bury her. And of course, you know, and we'll go over it, but Israel just has rebelled and rebelled and rebelled over and over and over. And verse 7, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and all their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation in the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, it'd be great to see you tonight. Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come, O come, Emmanuel. Father, I just thank you that one day you will come. One day we're going to be home. We'll be out of this world. And I thank you, Lord God, that we have that future, those of us that are saved. And one day we will be walking the streets of gold. We will have the new bodies, and the sorrow and the tears and the weariness and the sin and ought to be gone. And I thank you for that, Lord God. Father, as we are in this life, in this earth, God, help us to be what you want us to be. Father, I pray that you would bless the message tonight. Lord, I pray that you guide me, help me, Lord God. I pray you'd fill me with thy spirit. Pray this message be easy to understand and interesting to listen to. God, I pray you deal with our hearts. We need thee, Father. And I just pray, Lord God, that you'd bring conviction where needed. Encourage the discouraged. Convict the lost. I pray they get saved. God, I pray you'd work and move in our midst tonight. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, you know, I've heard it, not a lot, but I've heard it's been said that the reason Moses smote the rock was he didn't have the faith that God, the water would come out if he just spoke to it. Well, that's not right, and that's not what's going on here. But I want to back up and just kind of give you a background, because I want to build a runway to get to this chapter here. But there's no doubt that Moses knew the Lord. I mean, there's just no doubt about that. I mean, the Lord appears to him in the burning bush, and he says, go down to Egypt. I want you to deliver my people. And Moses is like, Lord, you know, they want me for murder down there, you know. I mean, really? And he said, yes. And he goes down. And, of course, the plagues, the Lord uses him there. Of course, Aaron starts out, you know, and after a while, Moses is like, no, Aaron, I'll take over from here now. But he turns the water to blood, and then the frogs come up on the land. Bible says those frogs were in the women's kneading troughs. Can you imagine, ladies, going into your cupboard pulling out a pan and there's a frog in it. Can you imagine that? I mean, I don't care what you wash it with. It ain't the smell, that slime, something about it, it just isn't coming out. And just kind of a rough time there. Then the lice, he brings the lice up. Lord uses him, I should say. Flies, brings flies up on land. The cattle die. Boils, hail, locusts, and then darkness. And they said, it says over in the Bible, it says that darkness was such that the people didn't leave. When he smote Egypt with darkness, the people didn't leave where they were for 3 days. I mean, if that darkness, I mean, you could turn the lights off in here tonight and it'd be dark, but not like that darkness. That darkness was such that they didn't move. There was a terror associated with that darkness. I mean, if that darkness was to hit us tonight, you'd sit there for 3 days. You wouldn't move. And well, the amazing thing about that, if you're at the edge, and this was Israel, you could stick your foot through in the light. That's weird, man. That's just, I mean, just, it'd be like this. There'd be light there and just darkness here. And the Lord is something else. You know, the Lord doesn't have to play by the rules. He made the rules, you know. I mean, I know he's going to keep the law. He's not going to do wrong. I understand that. But, you know, all this scientific laws and all that, he can do what he wants there, you know. But he's got the darkness there. And then the firstborn die. And by then, the Egyptians say, go, go, get on out, you know. And Moses leads them out, and they're going through the wilderness there. And I don't have time to get into all that stuff, but Mount Sinai is not in the peninsula. It's over in Arabia, according to Galatians. And they go off, and they cross over a Gulf of Aqaba over there, Red Sea over there. But nevertheless, he leads them out, and he gets the law. Just going to give you an overview here. In chapter 20, goes up there and gets a law from God, Ten Commandments, comes down, and they're dancing around a golden calf. And Ron Wyatt found that altar over there in Arabia. They were dancing around, had calves inscribed on the side of it, climbed up on it, because that golden calf, the Bible says, when Moses came down, of course, he was furious, and the tablets get broken, and he grinds that thing to powder. Ron Wyatt got up on top of that altar with a magnifying glass or whatever, looking in the cracks, and found gold dust deep down in the cracks of that altar. It's amazing, amazing thing. But he goes up there, he comes down, and go to Exodus 33. Go to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Moses is a great picture of a young, a young preacher. And there's a lot of lessons in it. It is rich. Of course, the whole Bible's rich. But look at Exodus 33. And it comes down. And look at verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And that's the Lord talking to Moses. Verse 15, he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. You ever felt like that? Man, the Lord gave you something to do and say, he says, I'll be with you. He said, Lord, if you're not with me, I don't want to do it. Because without the Lord, you can do nothing. Nothing. Well, anyway, the Lord's talking to him. And look at verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. You know, the Lord's addictive. You know, when you get around the Lord, you want more. You know that? Something about the Lord. And you sense. Now, again, it's not a charismatic thing, but nevertheless, you sense him and the peace and the love and the protection and just purpose in life and on and on and on. And it's good when the Lord's near. No doubt about it. As a matter of fact, when I get in churches, every church I'm in, boy, we prayed tonight. You say, what did we pray for? God to show up. You say, why? Because we know what it's like when he doesn't. And there's something about, Lord, we want you again. Lord, we need you again. Oh, God, come by again. Man, it's always good when the Lord comes by. Nothing like it, boy. It makes life. There's just a peace that comes by. Well, Moses, he's talking to the Lord. And he's like, Lord, can I see your glory? Can I get a little bit more? I tell you, that's one day we're going to see them all. I mean, see the Lord in His fullness. But He says, I beseech you, show me thy glory. And He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. We'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and we'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And He says there in verse 22, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will put thee in a cliff to the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Now I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now, that area over there is just rock. That's all it is. There's no trees. There's no grass. There's no shrubs to speak of. I mean, in this area where he's at, it's jagged, sharp rocks and dirt. That's all it is. It's got mountains around there that are jagged, and they're just rock. They're just, it looks like Arizona. It really does. And but just a little bit worse. Arizona's got flat parts. This is just rocky, rugged desert is what it is. Lord says, well, Moses, I'll put you in the cliff of the rock, and can't see me, I'll cover you with my hand. And Moses is waiting there. Do you ever think about that? I mean, all of a sudden, Moses goes flying through the air. And he lands in the cliff. You know, like a crag there. You know, and he's got wall on this side, wall on that side. He's looking out, you know, like that. And then all of a sudden, the front of it goes, something covers it. It's the Lord's hand. So all I can do is hear. And he's waiting. And it passes by in front of him. The Lord does. And he says there in verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him, proclaimed the Lord God, merciful. You see what the Lord says about himself? Merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children under the third and fourth generation. But do you see the number of positive attributes before he gets to the negative? Man, it's amazing how many people just view God like he's Allah or some pagan god, and they just live in abject fear, thinking he's up there getting ready to just beat them up. That's not our God. He says, merciful. Merciful. The Lord delights in mercy. He says, merciful, gracious, long-suffering. And Moses hears this. He can't see the Lord. I mean, the Lord passes by, and all he can do is listen. Maybe he just got down low. And then the Lord takes his hand away, and I wonder if Moses kind of peeked out and looked, you know, saw the Lord, the backside of him, saw his glory, passed by. You know, Moses never forgot that. He never did. And they get going, go to Exodus let's see, we're already there. Exodus 33. Go to Numbers 13. We'll go to Numbers 13. Pick it up there. This is a little while after Exodus 33, but not all that far, to tell you the truth. And look at Numbers 13, and Moses leads them along, and they get up to the Promised Land. And they get up to the Promised Land, and of course they send the spies in. You know the story. They go in there, they come back, and they bring up an evil report. Of course, Joshua and Caleb are ready to go. But look at verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. See, they said, but we're nothing but grasshoppers to them. And that's what we are in their sight, too. Oh, did you go ask them? Hey, Mr. Giant, don't we look like grasshoppers to you? You know what they're doing? They're assuming that. They're assuming that. They don't know the giants are looking at them that way. Those giants may have been terrified. The Lord put the fear of on them after they heard what they did to Egypt and the Egyptians and all that, you know, along the way in the Red Sea part. And they didn't know that. They're assuming that. But you know what? They're on the edge of the Promised Land. And Moses is ready to go in. It wasn't Moses holding them back. Right? Moses is ready to go in. And if they'd have had the faith, they'd have gone in. Moses wanted to go in. We learned that later. But he never went. You say, why? Well, the ones that didn't have enough faith prevented him from going in. But he wanted to go. He was ready to go. He would have gone into the promised land, but he never went. You say, what are you getting at? Oh, carnal Christians have a way of holding you back, don't they? They just hold you back. I wonder, are you hindering this church, this ministry? I wonder. And by the way, preacher hadn't said anything to me, so I just believe this is what God wants me to preach. But is there direction, the ministry, the Lord's directing it, and you're holding it back? Boy, there were some carnal Israelites prevented Moses from going on in the promised land. Never made it. That's just, I look at that thing, and that just, I don't know, it just intrigues me. It burdens me. My heart goes out to Moses. Because later on, we get to Numbers 20. He's like, Lord, won't you let me? He said, I don't want to talk about it. You're not going. You blew it. But he would have gone there. But he never made it. I mean, carnal Christians slow you down. They would have entered. Moses would have entered into the promised land. He never made it. How many fathers never make it in the ministry because the family just holds them back? Say, now, that's not going to be an excuse. I mean, they're not going to be able to give an excuse when they stand before God. But there's a lot of Christians ready to go. There's a lot of wives ready to go, and the husband won't. And it works both ways. But the question is, are you holding someone back? They held Moses back. He never made it. Never went in. That to me, like I say, my heart goes out to Moses. Well, in chapter 14, God's ready to kill him. And Moses intercedes. And look at verse 15. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, chapter 14, verse 15, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring the people in the land. And notice what Moses does, verse 17. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken. Well, that's what he heard in the cliff to the rock. And he quotes it back to God. Look at verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering, of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilty. That's what he heard in the rock. And he said, now, Lord, you remember what you said? And the Lord's like, all right, Moses. And Moses talked him out of it. That really is an amazing thing about prayer. You know, you can change God's mind. If you're saved here tonight, you've changed his mind at least once. Because he was intending on putting you in hell. And you got saved, you changed his mind. That's an amazing thing. That really is. And Moses up there, verse 19, pardon, I beseech the iniquity of this people. And the Lord does. He does. In verse 20, the Lord said, I pardon according to thy word. And Moses gets his prayer answered there. Then in verse chapter 15, they get more law. And then go to 16. Like I say, just kind of giving you the background there, there's no doubt Moses knew God. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. No doubt the Lord called him. No doubt he's in God's will. No doubt he's walking with God and he and God are working together. There's no doubt about that. Look at number 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. They rebel against God's leadership. Well, the Lord's ready to kill them. Verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Now, you know, it's a marvel that Moses said, yeah, Lord, go ahead. You know. But he interceded. He and Aaron, type of Christ, they're interceding. And the Lord says, all right, verse 26, and he spake unto the congregation. No, verse 24. Lord says, get you up from about the tabernacle court, Dathan and Abiram. And Moses tells everybody, get away from them. And they do. And, of course, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram just absolutely defiant. I think they're just standing there, and as everybody's leaving, they're just like, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. You know, they're just defiant. And verse 30, but if the Lord make a new thing, as Moses talking, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them that go down quick in the pit, then shall you understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass as he made an end of speaking all these words that the ground clave asunder that was under them. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertain unto Korah and their goods. I mean, he's speaking and all of a sudden the ground begins to shake. And man, it opens up and they drop down in there and people screaming and running. I just wonder. Boy, that earth comes back together. Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and their families all went down in there, except Korah's boys. They didn't go down. They'd already left. But nevertheless, they go down. The earth goes back. And I just wonder if Moses looked at that and went, cool. Hey, Lord. All right, man. Yeah, I took care of them, you know. I think it's probably more spiritual than that. But I could see him doing it. He's like, hey, that's slick, man. You know, I don't know. But anyway, they go down in there, and the Lord and Moses are working. But watch this. This is an amazing thing. It's just, you know, there's no doubt it was God, right? I mean, the earth opens up. They go down. There's no doubt it's God. Absolutely none. Next day. Look at verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation, the children of Israel, murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye, look at that thing, ye have killed the people of the Lord. You see that thing? It said Moses and Aaron, you killed them. Yeah, right. There was no doubt it was God. Do you know what? Moses and Aaron get mistaken for God. You know that? I mean, they're like, you did it. It was obviously the Lord. You say, well, so, hey, preacher, have you ever been mistaken for God? That preacher's aiming at me. I don't know why he preached that. He's just aiming at me. And it wasn't him at all. It was God. Amen. So, well, that preacher said that, and that preacher did that, and that preacher. It ain't the preacher, man. It's God. That's what you got to realize. And people don't realize that. They just think it's him, or it's her, it's this, or that. And it's the Lord working in your life. You got to get your eyes on the Lord and get them off man. I mean, all around the world. All around the world. There's people. And they get saved. And they start growing. And they get to a point where they realize the King James Bible is the Word of God. And all of a sudden, they're just living for God and realize the King James Bible is the Word of God. Someone comes along and says, you're a Ruckmanite. Amen. And they're like, what's that? Oh, don't tell me you've been around Ruckman. Who are you talking about? I said, oh, don't play dumb. I know you have, and they just walk off. And they're like, and you know what? Dr. Ruckman gets substituted for God. You know that? You talk about a place of, I don't know how to put it, but it's a privilege. That's not the word, but you know what I'm saying? It's to be, your name is put in there when it's God working. That's doing something, folks. And that's worldwide. That's doing something. That's an amazing thing. And people just all the time say, well, it's the preacher. Well, preacher, you did it. And it wasn't. It was God. Well, you Ruckmanite or this. You've killed the people of the Lord. And they didn't. It was God. You need to get your eyes on the Lord. They didn't have them on the Lord. They had them on Moses and Aaron or anything but God. And it's amazing how people get that way. And you need to just Put your eyes on the Lord. And even if a preacher is amen, if it's biblical, it's still God. And you ought to thank God you got a preacher that aims. Amen. Because there's plenty of churches around here with professional missers. Yeah, man. It's, whew, and people sitting there, oh, I just like him, you know. Man, I'll tell you one thing, they got to realize that's not God. You take, don't mistake a man for the Lord. Don't do that. Just put your eyes on the Lord, and if it's biblical, then you got to face the Lord, and you got to have it out with God. And a lot of people, they don't want to do that. They want to justify their sin or their wickedness and say, well, it's him or it's her or it's this or that, and that's not the thing. You're going to end up in a mess if you do that. Amen, amen, amen. And you take then Aaron's rod buds in chapter 17, and then in 18 and 19, they get more law, and now go to chapter 20. And that just gives you an overview of Moses. And just shows that there's no doubt Moses knew the Lord and he was walking with God and the Lord used him. There's just no doubt about that. But here we come into chapter 20 and he's had griping, rebelling people just over and over and over, month after month after month after month after year. I mean, just, he's at the end of his rope. But look at chapter 20 now. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation in the desert of Zin. First month, people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam dies. I mean, his sister dies. Verse 2, there is no water for the congregation. They gather themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. I mean, he's been going through it. His sister dies, and then the next verse, they're griping and complaining because there's no water. And Moses is flesh, just like you and I. Now, here's where it comes together now. Verse 6. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of congregation. They fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, he said, now, Moses, we got a problem. And Moses like, you're telling me. We got a problem. Yeah, that we sure do, Lord. He said, what are you going to do? He said, well, I got a plan. Good. Good. He said, I got a plan to stop their murmuring and griping and complaining. He said, good, Lord, because I can't take any more. I've had it. I'm just at the end of my rope. He said, okay, well, I got a plan. He said, okay, what is it, Lord? He said, okay, here's my plan. Verse 8. Take the rod. And boy, Moses' mind flashes back and said, oh, that rod. I remember that rod. That rod held it over the Red Sea, and it parted. Well, it went down there, threw it on the ground before Pharaoh, turned into a serpent. And boy, the other magicians, their rods became serpents too, but my rod ate theirs. And when I picked it up, it was a lot bigger. It was a king snake. And, you know, king snakes eat rattlers. That's what they do. That's what they eat them. And he said, yeah, that rod, that man, that's quite a rod. Yeah, I got that. All right, Lord, I can do that. I got the rod. Yeah, Lord, okay, I can do that. He said, take the rod, gather thou the assembly together. He said, well, okay, I can do that. Thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye under the rock for their eyes, and it shall give forth as water. He says, well, okay, yeah, that's no problem. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. And right there Moses went. Did he say what I think he just said? I don't know. I must have misunderstood him. Did he say, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and the beasts drink. And right there Moses went, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. Them? They rebel against me. They don't appreciate me. They just rebel and scream and gripe. And man, there's over a million of them there. And the Lord wants me to give them the water. He wants me to give them the water. He said, I can't believe he wants me to give them the water. I mean, they're not worth it. I'm sick and tired of them. That's a lot of work. And Moses had it. He's had it. Verse 9. Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? See that thing right there? I'm going somewhere. I want you to get this. Moses lifted up his hand with his rod. He smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and the beasts also. And he lifts it up. He's angry. He smites it. And yes, the rock only gets smitten once. There's no doubt about that. Jesus Christ is only going to die once. Not going to die again. There's no doubt about that. But the reason Moses smote that rock was because he was fed up. And the Lord wanted him to give them the water. In other words, the Lord wanted them to come to Moses for their survival. Kind of like catching a wild lion. Put him in a cage. He's ready to tear anybody's head off. He's just ready to kill anything. And the same guy comes out probably about the same time every day. Gives him water. Gives him some food. First week or so, he's like, rah, you know, he just... And after about a week, he's like, yeah, there's the rest of these people around here I don't like. But that guy, he's not so bad. You know, and then after a few weeks, you know, that guy's beginning to work his way in. You know what he's doing? He's taming that lion. And these people have been gripe. And I don't have time to go there, but Moses fails the test here, fails the job. But the very next miracle, if you want to call it that, is the serpent on a pole. And they had to look to Moses for their survival. And you study that out from there on. They never gripe about Moses again. But the Lord wanted to do that here. But Moses loses his temper. Verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand. And with his rod he smote the rock twice. Water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and the beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not. Now when he says that, you say, well, there, he didn't have the faith. No, that's not it. He knew the water would come out. He didn't believe the plan would work. How's that going to stop their griping? How's that going to stop their rebellion? If I just give them some water, that'll never work. And he's fed up with the people anyway. And he says there, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation in the land which I have given them. Now I want you to notice something there. He says in verse 8, thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. You know what the Lord wanted? The Lord wanted Moses to speak to that rock, get some water, and give it to the people. And get that water and give it to the people. And those people would have had to come to Moses and Aaron for their survival. Now, maybe he would have had helpers. I know this. All of Egypt went to Joseph for corn, right? So there is a way. But the final authority of it all was going to be Moses. And in order for them to live, they had to go to Moses and get that water to survive. And that, you know what the Lord wanted? The Lord wanted Moses to sanctify the Lord to them. That's what he wanted. See there? Look at it. He says there in verse 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord. Look at it. And he was sanctified in them. But the Lord didn't want the direct sanctification. In other words, he didn't want the miracle to be personal. He wanted to go through Moses. Why? They would get a different opinion of Moses. They would look to Moses differently. Now, I'm not talking about worshiping a man or anything like that. But my question to you is this. Have you given anybody a drink lately? Boy, this world just despises Christians. And boy, they've got no respect for them anymore, and on. But you know what? There's people out there that are thirsty. They're dying. And you know what? They need a drink. And the Lord wants to use you to sanctify him to them. The Lord wants to use a mom to sanctify him to the children, or a dad, or to each other. Have you given anybody a drink lately? You know, well, they don't appreciate me. You know, I work around the house and, you know, I go to work and I'm working and they don't appreciate me. And you mean I got to give them a drink? They don't appreciate what? Yeah. Yeah, give them a drink. You say, why? Well, they won't be inclined to complain so much. They won't be inclined to gripe so much. They'll look at you differently if you just give them a drink. If you just sanctify the Lord to them. I went down to PBI, and I'm not talking about worshiping man, but I went down to PBI. I was just green as grass, saved less than 2 years, had no Christian background. And Dr. Upton just fed me and fed me and fed me the Word of God. And you know what? I'll always look up to him. You say, why? Because he had gone to the Lord and had gotten some water, and he gave me a drink. He gave me a drink. And as your pastor preaches and prays and studies, he gave you a drink. You look at him differently. You look at him differently. Oh, there's a number of people that probably didn't ever change their viewpoint of him and left and spiritually died. Now, I know you're not dependent on man. You got to have a walk with God. You got to be reading your Bible and praying. I know that. But there's something about a pastor that'll feed you and pray for you and nourish you and you get a drink. I mean, there's times you come in, man, you're just thirsty and bankrupt. And boy, the Lord come in. Maybe it's somebody's song. I don't know. But you get a drink. It makes the ministry, it's different. You start looking at it differently. Why? You're getting a drink of water. Getting a drink of water. And the question is, have you sanctified the Lord to anybody lately? And mom or dad, have you given your children a drink lately? You got something from God? You see, in order to do that, you got to speak to the rock. If you're not speaking to the rock, you're not going to get any water. Not going to get any water. And it wasn't the lack of faith with Moses. It was lack of faith that God's plan would work. That's why Moses, he was upset. He was fed up with the people. And the Lord wants Moses to sanctify him to Israel. And there's people around you that need to see the Lord. Need to see you give them something. I remember I was working. It was nothing. It wasn't me. I was working. This lady, Nora, the secretary at the office where I worked. One day I walk in, you know, and she says, how's the world treating you, Ken? And I said, lousy. And she goes, oh, it's not that bad. I mean, you know, the Lord's there and stuff. I said, wait. I said, the world's treating me lousy. I said, the Lord's treating me good. That's all I said. And man, she just, that turned that whole lady's life around. She was saved. I didn't know it. Turned her whole life, got back in church, the whole thing. Just a little drink. It wasn't much. That wasn't much. That was just a little drop, really. But what have you given to somebody lately? I mean, have you gotten anything out of your Bible reading? Said, "Boy, look at this, boy, it's been such a blessing." Have you helped someone out lately? People are thirsty. It's dry. They need you to give them a drink. And as you do, they begin to look at you differently. They just look at you like, "Thank you, thank you. I really needed that. Thank you so much." And there just becomes a different viewpoint. And the Lord is telling Moses, would you give him some water? And Moses, he's at the end of his rope. And he's like, they're not worth it. I'm sick of them. And he hits that rock and they get the water direct. Well, they ought to be reading their own Bible. They ought to be praying on their own. Yeah, they should. But maybe the Lord wants to use you to give them a drink. Because right now they're struggling. They're having a hard time. And you've got some water that you could give them that might help them through the hard time. That's what it is. That's what it is. I remember it was a Wednesday. I think it was Sunday night. And we were sitting around church. We drove about an hour and 20 minutes to go to church. And so we weren't really anxious to leave and drive home. And we're sitting around fellowship and talking to people, and Somebody came up to me and said, Brother McDonald, AJ would like to get saved. Would you talk to him? I guess I can find the time, you know. But I said, yeah, I'd be glad to. And AJ was about, I'd say 12, 13 years old, something like that. And AJ would walk, when church was over, AJ would be, you'd see him on the aisles, and he'd be going. And he'd always dreamed about being a soldier. That's just what he ended up going to Baghdad and Afghanistan and was a sniper and he's quite a guy. Well, that night he wanted to get saved. We went back in the back room, and I mean the Lord was all over him. He was broken. I mean, he was just crying and just choked up, you know. And I like it when it's that way. I mean, the Lord just all over him. And I said, AJ, you want to get saved? And he's like, yeah, you know. And man, we just kneeled down there. And I said, now, AJ, the Bible says, you know, for all of sin, I was just going to take him to the basics, you know. He said, yeah, I know. And he'd already been out soul winning. He knew the whole thing. I mean, he'd already been serving God and all that stuff. I said, AJ, you know what to do. And he's like, yeah, I do. Well, go, you know, pray and ask the Lord to save you. Man, he just broke. He's just crying. Asked the Lord in his heart to save him. And AJ got saved. He really did. And was a witness. AJ, you know, you get your converts in the Lord. And AJ laid his life down for the Word of God. He was over in Baghdad, and he calls me up. He calls me up and says, Brother McDonald, can you get me any New Testaments? I said, I believe I could. He said, well, the chaplain here is giving out NIVs, and I'm not going to do that. And AJ's witnessing, leading these soldiers to the Lord. And they were coming to him for counsel. They wouldn't go to the chaplain. They'd go to AJ. And boy, he's a witness and all that stuff. Well, I sent him a case of about, oh, I don't know, at the start, I think it was like 300 New Testaments, kind that would fit in your shirt pocket, you know. And he'd given a number of them out. And he told me this later after he was back in the States. He said, one day, they're in the barracks there, and he said the MPs came in, military police. I said, Bitzer? He said, yes, sir. He said, we hear you got Bibles. He said, yes, sir. They said, we want them. He said, you're not getting them. They said, we have orders to get those Bibles. Will you give them to us right now? He said, I have 268 Bibles. If I find that I have 267, I'm coming looking for you. Now, he'd already been in battle. He'd already, I mean, he'd already faced down guns and all that stuff. And he's got stories, man. But he said, I'm not giving them to you. And they said, give them to us. And he picked up his rifle. And they said, we'll be back. He said, help yourself. And they left. And the other guys around him, he said, they were for me. But they're like, Bitzer, you're crazy. You're not going to win this fight. There's no way. He said, they're not getting my Bibles. And he said, after that, he said, a little while later, he said, the two MPs come back and some officers, captain or something, I mean, just higher rank. He said, Bitzer, he said, yes, sir. He said, we're here to get your Bibles. He said, you're not getting my Bibles. They said, we're here. You're not supposed to have those Bibles. He said, if the United States military can give out the Koran, I can give out the Word of God. And they said, we're here to get it. And he picked up his rifle and he put a clip in it. And he said, you're not getting my Bible. And they left. And he said, you know, generals really don't like to hear that sort of thing. He said, I know they would have got me, but I got a few of them too. And he said, they don't like to hear that. They left. Man, he's ready to lay his life down for the Word of God. Man, they sent him on an assignment where he wasn't supposed to come back. I mean, they did. He was passing out tracts in downtown Baghdad. They said, you can't do that. He said, oh, I'm going to do it. And they made him a guard at the prison there with the Iraqi insurgents and all that stuff. And he led one of them to the Lord. They didn't know what to do with AJ, man. But AJ be over there. I remember him calling me from downtown Baghdad. Say, hey, Brother McDonald. I say, yeah. He said, this is AJ. I said, AJ, how you doing? He said, oh, I'm doing all right. He said, I'm in downtown Baghdad. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. And he's talking there for about 5 minutes. He goes, oh, those are orange tracers. Oh, that's the enemy. Brother McDonald, I got to go. The enemy's firing on us. Click. I mean, his bunker got hit by a mortar. He got a broken pelvis, you know, fixed up. They put him back in. I'm just on and on and on. But, you know, AJ calls me. He's out now. Matter of fact, he might be, I don't know if he ever got that job or not. He might be going to Afghanistan to train troops. But he'll call me up about at least once a month, usually about two or three times a month. And he said, "Hey, Brother McDonald, just want to let you know, I led some to the Lord today." He said, "That's another grandchild for you." And he'll just go on, and about once every 6 months, he'll say, "Brother McDonald, I just remember that night when I wanted to get saved." And I'll go, "AJ, I didn't do anything, man. You were just ready to get saved." "Yeah, but Brother McDonald, you were there. And you prayed with me. And I just remember that night. Just thank you so much. We're going to be in heaven. I just want you to know you got a bunch of grandchildren." He's leading people to the Lord. Do you know what? I know I'm nothing. But in his eyes, I'm something special. You say, "Why?" Well, because God let me give him a drink. He never forgot that. And the Lord tells Moses, "Would you sanctify me to him? I don't want it direct. I want you to sanctify me to him." He didn't actually say it, but it's like they'll look at you differently. I mean, are you dealing with somebody and they're just giving you a fit and they're just ornery and nasty? And you're like, "Man, what am I going to do?" Give him a drink. Give him a drink. Just give him a drink. You say, "Well, I've tried, but they just don't quit." Give him a drink anyway. They're not going to have a direct sanctification with the Lord there. It's not going to be direct with them. The Lord wants you. Sanctify him to them. You got to speak to the rock. You got to get some water. Sanctify him to them. That's what's needed. Let's pray. Father, God, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to have our eyes on you. Get them off man. Help us, Lord, to have some compassion, charity. It's a dry land. People hurting. People thirsty. God, I pray you'd help us to speak to the rock. Get some water. Might be able to give it to some people. Father, please help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Start the invitation tonight. Let's just remain with our heads bowed and our eyes closed here for just a few minutes. Maybe you have something to talk to the Lord about here. Now, folks, there's an awful lot of people here tonight that are involved with work with those juvenile kids, girls and boys. Visitation, you're witnessing to family members. You deal with obnoxious, stubborn Christians at work. And because you don't win them all the time to your side, because those juveniles don't turn out in droves and are not yet what you envision a Christian being, doesn't mean that you're not fulfilling the role. And it doesn't mean that you're unsuccessful in sanctifying the Lord in their sight. You just don't know what the Lord will work in those things in months and years to come. I learned a long time ago, we give up way too easy. Get discouraged, get a little hard, all too ready to turn a sinner over to the Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And that's not really your call. You have compassion keep on trying. Don't force the Lord into a position of having to chasten you while He's trying to feed somebody else through you. Look this way and get number 357 to stand. 357, stand before we're dismissed here. Keep note that this song is a sinner speaking this to God now. You're praying to the Lord right now when you're singing this. 357. right. Now, I'm not going to run anybody off here tonight or anything. I know there's probably some special music needs to be practiced, but we're back here in about 12 hours. So we've been hanging around here till 10 or 10:30 each night, so I suggest we get out of here pretty quick tonight so we can get back and be fresh in the morning. I know Teresa was not having a Sunday school class in the morning. She's going to have her class in here. Marcy, you going to do the same? So, Mary, are you going to have class, your three-year-olds? Okay. You're going to? Okay. So all but the youngest class will be in here in the morning. Brother McDonald will be teaching Sunday school. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Father, we appreciate once again hearing from you. And Lord, you answered prayer about when we got on our knees here tonight, ask you to show up. You did. We appreciate that. Father, we don't see rocks cleft anymore. Red Sea doesn't open for us like it did these folks in the wilderness, but we get to see something a lot more wonderful at times. And we appreciate this treasure that we have in earthen vessels. We look forward to the day that we'll get our eyes knocked out, Lord, by the vision of heaven that we'll see. Eyes have not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither hath entered the hearts of the sons of men, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So we just pray that you'll be with us now. We look forward to tomorrow. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.